بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Tonight's topic is called YOLO, You Only Live Once. Although that is the topic, that is not what is meant from an Islamic perspective. In Islamic perspective and according to the Quranic injunction and what Allah has told us, you actually live twice. The word YOLO can deter us from forgetting that we are created in this world temporarily for a purpose and a test which Allah has placed us here. And this is merely a bridge that we are crossing from the moment we're born until our death. And then there is a resurrection, a life after death, a life that will never, ever end. And then either to paradise or hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among the people of paradise. My brothers and sisters, life is extremely short. And life is temporary in every sense of the word. And if a person is searching for ultimate happiness and success in this world, then that pursuit is a failure. Not to put you down or despaired. A Muslim should achieve and be productive. And there is nothing wrong with enjoying some things of this world and pursue the things that you are passionate and love and your livelihood within the halal means, permissible means, and avoiding the forbidden means. And if you do fall into them, you repent. However, a Muslim's heart should never be attached to a temporary world like this. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it as mata'. Mata', constantly that word in the Quran is repeated. This dunya, this worldly life, and the word dunya means lowly life. Mata', temporary enjoyment and temporary suffering. So until we believe that we are here as an examination and that the hereafter compared to this world is no comparison, then we will not ever see the ultimate success and triumph that Allah has created us for. Allah says in the Quran, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Did you calculate and estimate through your analysis, through your limited intelligence, what you see in front of you only? Did you estimate within your limited capacity that we created you, that Allah says that I created, that we created you? The word we here is royalty. It's just got to do with grammar. We, Allah, created you just out of foolish play for no purpose, and that you will not return back to us. We will all return back to Allah. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah we belong, and to him we shall return. And this life is so short, and our time of death is unknown. And Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٌ. No soul knows what it will be doing tomorrow, and no soul knows in which land it will die. You and I can plan and plan, but at the end of the day, we don't know how long we'll be in this world. A Muslim does not despair with this knowledge that life is temporary. Yes, there is heartache, and you'll leave your loved ones, and everything you worked for will stay behind. However, a Muslim looks at it as a preparation. It's a motivation to prepare, to have the best of both worlds. Live your life according to the guidance of Allah. Earn your wealth in halal and use it in halal and charity, and worship Allah to the best of your ability. But if you don't have the hereafter in mind and know that at any time you can leave this world, then what's going to happen is that we procrastinate. I say to myself, I'll repent later. I'll say to myself, I'm still young. I'll say to myself, I'll still do Hajj when I'm older. I'll say to myself, I will abandon the lustful temptations when I get married, for example. I will start repenting when such and such happens. And then I get taken away with the waves of deception of social media and the society and the world we live in through entertainment, that I forget that my time is running out, and that at any moment Allah will call me back. So a Muslim always lives their life in every day saying, I am not going to wait till tomorrow to do the right thing or to repent. I will do it now. Tomorrow's another day. Be the son or the daughter of the moment. Life is so short, and it will be in so much despair that when a person abandons or procrastinates in doing the righteous deeds and repenting, so much so that Allah tells us the image and the when you read the Quran about the hereafter on the Day of Judgment, it's like a cinematic image right in front of your eyes. Allah describes our state by saying, وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ يُقْسِمُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ مَا لَبِثُوا غَيْرَ سَاعَةٍ. On that day when the hour will come to pass, the wicked shall swear that they had stayed in the world no more than an hour. Thus they used to be deceived in the life of this world. كَذَلِكَ كَانُوا يُؤْفَكُونَ. Thus they used to be deceived in the life of this world. Busy yourself with entertainment, busy yourself with wealth and money and accumulation, busy yourself with desires and lust, busy yourself with sex, drugs and rock and roll. You're still young until the time comes, and let's use the acronym YOLO. You only live once, so therefore enjoy and fulfill your desires to the max. Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. Say, shall I tell you about those who were the greatest losers in this life? الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. They are the ones whose pathway in this life, the choice of the path that they chose to take in their life, went totally astray while they thought that they were not doing anything wrong. They were doing good. Meaning they neglected the guidance of Allah, the Quran, and followed their desires and lusts and whatever society and community tells them. I still have time, they said. While Allah tells us to recite and the words are repeated, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr. By the time, and the word in the Quran Allah state used is asr, which means to squeeze. By time that is squeezing out, the juice is running out. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Indeed, man is in loss. You're losing. From the moment you're born, you're going backwards. Your life is getting shorter. Your time is getting shorter. Whatever you accumulate is going to run out and leave it behind. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Except those who have believed in Allah and His message. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Then they followed it up with doing many numerous righteous deeds. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. And they lived a life where they advised and reminded one another to follow truth, the truth that Allah sent to us. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And they also lived a life where they enjoined each other and lived a life with their friends and their family and the people around them, advising one another and helping one another to be patient and persevere until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the true meaning of brotherhood and sisterhood, by the way. Allah tells us in the Quran also in Surah Al-Mu'minun, when the people have been gathered on the Day of Judgment, the good and the bad and everything in between, Allah gathers them and He says to them, Allah will speak to the people before the judgment begins. And He will say to everybody,
قَالَ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ سِنِينَ.
Then Allah will ask them, "For how many years did you stay on earth?"
قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ فَاسْأَلِ الْعَادِّينَ
They will say, "We stayed for a day, or part of a day, man, part of a day." Ask of those who keep count of this, meaning ask the angels that used to write the records, because on that day everybody sees, everybody knows there were angels, there were people writing, angels writing, there was a day of judgment has come, and there is nothing hidden anymore, everybody knows. Then what does Allah say?
قَالَ إِن لَبِثْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ
He will say, "You stayed only for a while, if you only knew that. Did you imagine that we created you without any purpose, and that you will not be brought back to us?" In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ وَنَحْشُرُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ يَوْمَئِذٍ زُرْقًا
The day when the trumpet shall be sounded, and we shall muster the sinners, their eyes turned blue with terror.
يَتَخَافَتُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ إِن لَبِثْتُمْ إِلَّا عَشْرًا
They will whisper among themselves, because they're scared. They will whisper among themselves on the day of judgment, "You stayed on the earth barely 10 days.
نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ إِذْ يَقُولُ أَمْثَلُهُمْ طَرِيقَةً إِنْ لَبِثْتُمْ إِلَّا يَوْمًا
We know well what they will say to one another on that day. Allah hears all the whispers. We also know that even the most cautious in his estimate will say, "You lived in the earth no more than a day." Than a day. That is where, my dear brothers and sisters, the true despair will happen. If you think that this life is full of despair, which it is, there is nothing compared to the despair here than to face the despair on that day. Because once a person dies, there is no returning back here. And whatever is in front is ever-ending, never-ending. And then you look ahead and you say, Had I utilized that one little day, because that's what it's going to seem like, that one little day or part of a day, had I utilized that? Because on that day you look back and you say, my 50, 100 years, 1,000 years, doesn't matter how many years, wallahi, it will feel like only a day passed. You don't even have to think about the hereafter to imagine that. Right now you can look at it. Some of you here are probably what? Some of you are 20 years old. Some of you are 30. Some of you are 40. Some of you are 50, 60, 70, maybe even 80. Ask those who are above 60 right now. How did you feel all these 60 years? Very quickly. Suddenly your children are married. Now you've got your grandchildren. Ask the one who is over 40. Allah, you're like a blink of an eye. Ask he who's 20. You still think you're still 12. The 30, you say, how did time pass? Just yesterday I was like 18. And that's the day of despair when you say, for just a day, I ruined my eternity? No, a believer utilizes the time now. My brothers and sisters, Abdullah ibn Umar, I'm going to take you back in the past. Abdullah, the son of Umar radiallahu anhuma, one of the major and great companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him. He was still a youth. And I always like to bring to you examples of companions of the Prophet who were young. Abdullah ibn Umar was probably no more than 16 years old or so. He says, I was one time sitting with my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah, when he looked at me and gently grabbed my shoulder. When someone grabs your shoulder and they're wise, they want to teach you something, they want your attention for something extremely important. He grabbed my shoulder and he gave me this lifelong advice. كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر سبيل. Be in this life, live your life as if you are a stranger. Better yet, or like a person who is just passing by a town. You're a traveler and you're passing by a town. A stranger could be a person who goes to a foreign country to theirs. You probably have left your home and you go to a foreign country. You may stay there for more than a few weeks. Some people may live there for a few years even. So when the Prophet ﷺ said to Abdullah ibn Umar, be as if you're a stranger in this world, like a person who has left their home and gone to a foreign land, he remembered, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the context of the hadith, as if the Prophet remembered that, hold on a minute, a stranger could possibly just, you know, stick around for a while. So then he gave him even a more comprehensive advice of what he meant. Better yet, ya Abdullah, be like a wayfarer, like a traveler who's just passing by a town. It doesn't even sit there to sleep, maybe a night, and keeps going. And I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, a wayfarer, how much luggage does a wayfarer carry? You can take your whole house? You're going to take your whole bedroom, for example? No, you're not going to do all that. You take a little bit that will be enough for your journey. Mata', which means temporary needs. And what did Allah call this world again? Mata', temporary place with temporary enjoyment. And the word mata' also means not very important. Allah says in the Quran, أَرَضِيْتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Allah says, do you prefer the worldly life to the hereafter? Know well that all the enjoyment of this world in comparison with the hereafter is trivial. Is trivial. Surah At-Tawbah, verse 38. Then Abdullah ibn Umar, who took this advice from the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, and so I used to give this advice, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الْمَسَاءِ. If you wake up in the morning, don't wait for the evening. وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الصَّبَاحِ. And if you reach the evening, don't wait till the morning. وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَّتِكَ لِمَرَضِكَ. Utilize your health so that before you get sick. وَفِي حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ. And take opportunity of your life before your death. And the Prophet, the hadith is in Muttafaq Alayh, agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. What does he mean by these words? It means, if you've got a duty that Allah has placed upon you, don't procrastinate that duty and say, till the evening. Example, you have your Fajr prayer to pray, your Dhuhr prayer and your Asr. All these happen before the evening sets. Don't say to yourself, man, I haven't been praying, but you know what? This evening, I'll start my Maghrib and I won't leave it anymore. But then the Maghrib comes, and then you say, you know what? I've still got tomorrow. I feel a little bit lazy, got to wake up for work early. I'll start praying tomorrow fresh. Then you wait till the next week. Then. Or let's say that you are sinful from something. Don't say to yourself, you know what, tomorrow I'll repent. Don't let the shaitan come and tell you, you're not good enough, You're going to repeat the sin again tomorrow anyway. What's the point? Don't be a hypocrite. Don't. These are tricks of the shaitan. You don't know if you will survive till tomorrow. Wouldn't it be better to take your chances and repent now and leave tomorrow until it comes? Yeah, meaning leave tomorrow for its day. Right now, do what you need to do now. Because in the evening, you and I don't know if we will still be alive. And in the morning, you and I don't know if we will still be alive. How many people went to sleep and never woke up? How many people woke up and didn't make it to the evening? Allah only knows. So a Muslim is always prepared. And don't be despaired, my dear brothers and sisters. For a man entered upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahih Bukhari, Ar-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to keep us motivated, to keep us inspired, and to keep us goal-driven. Goal-driven. So I don't want you to misunderstand what we're saying here. He said, if you hear, or if you think that the hour has arrived, the last hour of this world has arrived. You know, in Islam, we know that the world is coming to an end and there are signs of the last hour. If you hear that the world is going to end and you think most likely it is, and you say to yourself, all these signs have shown themselves and you believe that the world is ending, world's ending soon. And you have a little plant that you are able to still plant it. He said, فَغْرِسْهَا, then plant it. Plant it. And don't wait and say, because no world is going to be here, might as well not plant it. Right? Don't be one of those who say, oh, the world's going to end, I might as well do all the things that I've always wanted to do, which is my desire. No. Stay productive. Because a Muslim knows that they are created in this world for a purpose. To do acts of righteousness and to avoid the sins and to repent to Allah and worship Allah until His death. So if that's your belief and you know that, then any tiny act of goodness that you can still do, even if you are 100% sure that the world will end tomorrow, or you're 100% sure that the doctor, for example, has given you 6 weeks to live because of a terminal illness, let's say, or whatever you say, the media and the news tells you it's the end of the world, World War III, all this catastrophe that we are fed, which is, by the way, hearsay, we don't know, only Allah knows. So don't take that and let it affect you in who you are and what you're meant to be doing. If you have a shoot, a little plant, and you can plant it, then plant it. In another hadith he said, for after it, there will be people who are living on. Meaning most of the time, people assume it's the end, but really, it's just fake news, or you've got it wrong, or there's going to be more life, so don't hold on to despair. And this is an exaggeration, that if you had a plant, and there is goodness in Islam in planting things for people's lives later on. In other words, he is saying, still do a good deed. Don't wait and say tomorrow it's going to go. What's the point? Don't be one of those. And number two, always think of how you can leave a legacy in this world for after you leave it. For those who take on the legacy of goodness and righteousness that you do for the sake of Allah, you will continue to get rewarded for it even after your death. That is a true investment. That is the ultimate shares in any stock that Allah has given you and any market of trade between you and Allah. Leave a legacy. Even if it's a plant. Ar-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْءٍ. Don't take for granted even the tiniest of good deed. And then he said, even moving an obstacle off the road is a good deed. And if you can't even do that, he said, وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَ أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلِقٍ. Even if all you can do is meet your brother with a cheerful face. Because you bring happiness to people around you when you come with that kind of attitude. As opposed to somebody who's always frowning, all he brings is misery and desperation and depression. A Muslim doesn't do that. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was described by his wives, Aisha radhiyallahu anha says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kana bashush al-wajh. He was always cheerful in his face, even though he was, people were after him, he was fugitive, he lost everything, and then he gained, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he always had a reason to be cheerful. A believer is one of a kind. So don't take for granted. I'll give you an example. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, said, whoever fasts one day voluntarily for the sake of Allah, that was not asked of you to do, it will distance that person from hellfire, the distance of traveling 70 years. Yeah, any exaggeration, long, far away from hellfire. Just by fasting one day voluntarily, how many opportunities have we missed out on? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَ. Protect yourself from the fire, even if you can only donate half of a date. Look at that great opportunity. You make wudu, for every drop of water, sins fall. You walk to the masjid for every step. 10 hasanat are given, 10 sayyat are taken off. Anything you do, even the tiniest deed, don't take it for granted. And never let the shaitan say to you, you're a loser. What's the point? You've done all these sins, you're missing out on all these obligations. What's moving away from the nest of, say, ants going to do for me? If you move away from there, colony for the sake of Allah, not to harm ants out in the wild, you get rewarded for it. Ya akhi, a woman entered paradise because of a dog, and another woman entered hellfire because of a cat. So live a life between hope and fear. That is the life of a believer. By that measure, no believer should ever despair. Every believer has an opportunity. And Allah rewards for the little enormously. And that is the meaning of his name, Ash-Shakur. He rewards for the little enormously, gigantically. A man entered from among the chiefs of the Meccan disbelievers one time. And he was with him was a bone, a rotten, thin bone of someone from a graveyard. He brought it with him. A hollow, rotten bone. He brought it before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a disbelieving chief. And before he spoke, he crunched the bone in his hand until it became powder almost. And then he blew it with his mouth and it scattered in front of the Prophet, peace be upon him's face. And then he said, O Muhammad, you say that the dead will be raised back to life. Tell us, who will give life to these decayed and rotten bones? That God will resurrect this bone after what I've seen it become? With your ridiculous claim? The Prophet, peace be upon him, answered him, yes. Allah will cause you to die first. Then he will resurrect you. Then he will put you into hellfire. That was an enemy of Islam. And one of the great miracles of this hadith is that this man, this chief, it was either Al-As ibn Wa'il or it was probably another one, Ibn al-Mughira, or maybe another one of the chiefs. Had he said the Shahada and converted to Islam, he would have disproven the Prophet's words by saying, and you will enter hellfire, because the Prophet, peace be upon him, never lies and he doesn't speak from his own whims. Same with Abu Lahab, his uncle, who placed fire in front of him with his wife and called him a madman and everything. And then Allah sent the verse, Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab, may the hands of Abu Lahab be cursed. And then Allah talks about how he will be in hellfire. He also had the opportunity to convert to Islam and disprove the entire Quran. Subhanallah, he died a disbeliever. After this man came in and said, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, told him that, The verses of the Quran in Surah Yasin were revealed. What were these verses? Allah says,
أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُّبِينٌ وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٌ
Surah Yasin, chapter 36, verse 77, Allah says, Does man not see that we created him of a sperm drop? And lo, he is flagrantly contentious. Flagrantly contentious means shamelessly, disgracefully, quarrelsome, argumentative, belligerent. He strikes for us a similitude. This man who came to the Prophet ﷺ with the bone and crushes it and throws it like that and scatters it, Allah says, he strikes for us this silly example, in other words, this silly, ridiculous similitude, and forgot about his own creation. He forgot how he was created in the first place. He says, Who will quicken the bones when they have decayed? Say, He who first brought them, who first brought these bones into being, life, will quicken them again. He knows well about every kind of creation. Allah answered by saying, Anyone who doubts that this is not the only life, and that there is a second life, which is the day of resurrection. And because you see people dying and they don't come back to life, and you see bones decaying and people rotting in their graves or ashes or whatever it is, or they were died in the oceans, or they died in the mountains, or they died up in the air, or they're disintegrated, or on the moon, or in the sun, it doesn't matter where. Allah says, that decayed body, who is the one who initially brought it to life anyway? Didn't Allah bring it to life from the beginning? So what is now more difficult, to start and originate a creation out of nothing, or to repeat the same process again? Which one's easier? What one's harder? It's harder to bring life from nothing. To repeat the process is easy for Allah. So he said, the one who began the bone from the beginning and then it died can repeat the process and bring the bone back to life very easily. Allah says in the Quran, وَعُرِضُ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ صَفًّا And on the day of judgment, behold, you find yourself displayed. They find themselves displayed before Allah in rows, standing for their judgment. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ Behold, you have come back to us. The same way we started you in the beginning. My brothers and sisters, therefore there is this life, which is a test. We die temporarily, and then we're resurrected again. This life is action, but no accountability. The next life is the other way around. Accountability, no more action. No more repentance. No more making up. No more fixing. This life, action, no judgment. Next life, judgment, no action. Not right now. Not right now. And this is what brought and deceived all the people before whom the prophets came to. When they all told him, beware of Allah's punishment, beware of Allah's judgment, they said, bring it, where is it? You've been talking for years, where is it? And Allah used to say, and they hastened their prophets. Say, the time will come, and when it comes, there is no more return. And Allah's command is nothing but like the blink of an eye, bang. And then on that day, you will say, not even an hour we were on earth. That is where the oppressor and the wrongdoer and the one who betrayed the trust, and the one who stole, and the one who hurt, and the one who abused, and the one who neglected, and the one who boasted, and the one who dealt with injustice, and the one who disobeyed Allah in everything with no care, and the one who was bad to their parents, and the one who was bad to their children, and the one who earned their wealth in haram and spent it in haram, and the one who constantly neglected the that on that day they will despair and say, oh, I wish that I would have. In fact, Allah says in the Quran that when death comes to a person, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ, and when death comes to one of them, and you know you're going to die, person knows when they're going to die, they feel it. قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ, Allah says, they say inside of them, we don't hear them, but these are the thoughts, my Lord, bring me back, bring me back. They might not say, my Lord. They may say, bring me back, whatever it is. They'll just say, bring me back. You know, like when we talk like this, we say, oh, come on, let it be this, let it be that. Whether you believe in God or don't believe in God, we all say, let it be, right? Please don't let it be this. So they come and they say, let me be, bring me back, bring me back. لَعَلِّ أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ, in the hope that I may fix and do good actions in what I neglected. And another verse says, فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, I will give in charity and I will be among the righteous, the rightly guided. Sadaqah, charity, doesn't just mean money. Yeah, I think you all know, Nate, been coming here for a while. Sadaqah, any goodness you have to give from it. Allah also says in the Quran, O mankind, if you have any doubt concerning resurrection, then know that it is surely He or we who created you from dust, then from a drop of sperm, then from a clot of blood, then from a little lump of flesh, some of it shapely and other shapeless. We are rehearsing this that we may make the reality clear to you. We cause the drop of sperm that we please to remain in the womb till an appointed time. We bring you forth as infants and nurture you that you may come of age. Among you is he that dies at a young age, and he who is kept back to the most object age, old age, so that after one once having known, he reaches a stage when he knows nothing. You see the earth dry and barren, and then no sooner than we send down water upon it, it begins to quiver and swell and brings forth every kind of beauteous vegetation. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention all of this in the Quran? He's giving us clear evidence before our eyes to know that look at the stages of your creation so delicately, so precisely and so deliberately, that Allah has told you exactly how He created you step by step, and how everything is within Qadr. It's all been pre-measured and ordained. And then Allah says, and even look at the land, look at the earth around you. Haven't you ever seen or read or heard about dry land, barren land that had no water in it, and there's no vegetation, no trees, no forest, no flowers, nothing, no life. And then Allah brings the clouds and the rain falls, little drops come down onto this earth, and suddenly within a few weeks or months or days, you start seeing growth, plantation, flowers, bees and hives, and insects and animals and trees and forest. Doesn't that happen before our eyes, Allah says? He says, just like that, you're seeing it recurring. Allah is saying, I will resurrect you again like that. The earth will be brought again. So don't you ever forget that resurrection will happen. Keep it right before your eyes, right here. When you go to sleep, remember, I will be raised. When you wake up, say, Alhamdulillah, who raised me after He has given me death. Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyani ba'dama amatani. Teach yourself these words, this dua of waking up. Because there is a reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to say these words. They have a meaning. They're not just parroted. Learn their meaning. Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyani ba'dama amatani. Praise be to Allah and gratitude that He has given me life after He gave me death. Life is breathing. Sleep is also called death in the Quran, minor death. بعد ما أماتني وإليه النشور, and to Him I will be resurrected. And when you go to sleep, you say the same, similar. أمسيت وأمسى الملك لله, for example. I am now gone to rest and sleep, and everything has gone to rest for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you can say, بِسْمِكَ اللَّهُمَّ أَمُوتُ وَأَحْيَا. Oh Allah, in your name I go to death, and in your name I rise. Why do we say these words as Muslims? To despair us or to keep us prepared and alert? You remind yourself these words and really say them because you mean them, and watch how you will wake up for your salat better. Watch how you will start to enjoy your prayer and worship even more. You will reach a stage slowly until prayer becomes your heaven. It becomes like the food and drink that you take. My brothers and sisters, suddenly, when you think of the hereafter and you think that this life is temporary and the hereafter is greater than this one and the punishment in the hereafter is worse than this one, suddenly all those things that you used to make a big deal out of, those fights that you used to dramatize, those quarrelsome times with your family and spouse and children and parents and neighbors and traffic and work and everything, and your pet and the tree and the animal and just the wind and the weather, for crying out loud, all of these seem a little bit less worthy of your stresses, of your complaints, of your misery and sadness. Stop being a beg. You know, begging for this and for that. Let it go. Everyone, a Muslim, a believer, doesn't look at these things as like a mountain. They're like pebbles. You know, when someone upsets me or takes a right, yes, as a believer, I protect my right. And I ask for my right. We're not people who place our cheeks on the ground for people to step on it. And if somebody disrespects you, you show him where the boundary is. But I don't let it get to me too much. And I pick my fights. You know what helped me do that? I always think, you know what? Okay. Allah, He will not let go of anything that I lost in this world. Doesn't mean I hold on to it and give up and not do anything. No, that's terrible. That's stupid. But we all know that there are lots of things in our life where our rights are taken, every single one of us. If we're going to pick on every little atom's worth of right, you will live a life of sadness and misery. And guess what? The shaitan will get you. Even your prayers will become a burden. Even in the mosque, you will fight. When you pray, you will fight. You will fight with the imam. You will fight with the people who recite the Quran. You will fight with anybody who has a beard or a scarf or anybody who tells you anything about them. You will fight with your family. You will fight with the people outside. You will fight with people who don't have a scarf. You will fight with people who don't pray. Everybody becomes an enemy. But when I have the hereafter in mind, and I know that Allah tells me nothing will be lost and everything will be compensated by Allah, I say, khalas, alhamdulillah, if I can't take it in this world, Allah will give it to me. I don't need to worry. Allah says, وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّن خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Whatever goodness you put forth is for yourselves, and you will find its reward with Allah. وَخَيْرًا وَأَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا. Allah is far better to work for, and He has the greatest rewards. I think that will now make things easier for you the next time you have a little quarrel with your own spouse or your parents or your children or your whoever around. You can at least know the mindset that, you know what? My anger doesn't have to be that great, that big anymore. Because I know that I'm compensated. What makes a person angry? What makes a person frustrated? Why do we get angry? Why do we get frustrated? You know why? We get angry and frustrated because we feel and believe that something of our right was taken. Think about it. That's what angers us. It was taken and I want it back. Now, different people pick on different levels. And that's why some people have more anger than others, because they pick on even the smallest rights. For example, if I'm driving on the street and somebody accidentally cut me off, I think, that's my way. He or she just took my right. So I get angry. I want it back. How do I get it back? Well, I'm not going to be able to reverse time, so let me think. I've got to let it out. stick a finger up, beep a few times, follow them in my car. Some people follow, they want to bash you, subhanAllah. They wait till the traffic light red hits, get out of the car, smashing the whatever, swear at them. You go back in the car, hey, I let go of my anger. I got my right back. But when a believer knows that, subhanAllah, you know what? I've cut off people before. This is a normal part of life. But you know what I'm going to do? For the sake of Allah, I'm going to be patient. There's no point. It's not worth fighting and losing my stress and getting angry and decreasing my immune system for the next 4 days. You're the one who's getting harmed. Say, Allah has got my back. Nothing goes lost. These are called the hidden rewards. You know what? That does tremendous work on our anger and our frustration and stress. It decreases it. Yeah, it's better than having no hope whatsoever and Allah tells you, I will not lose anything for you. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Allah will not wrong anybody an atom's worth. My brothers and sisters, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day was walking with his companions. The hadith is in Ibn Majah. He put his palm out and he gave a little demonstration to his companions. And he just put his saliva on his hand, he spat in it. And he said, O son of Adam, Allah says, O son of Adam, nothing is hard for me. And you go against me when I created you out of this or similar to that. And then I fashioned you and turned you into this human being. And then I balanced your whole system, your homeostasis, your mechanisms of your body and everything. And then I prevented harm from you until you grew, until when you reached the time of death and your soul reaches the gargling point while you wasted your time on earth rebelling. You start saying, I will give in charity, I will do this, but now it's too late. So let us not be late, my brothers and sisters. In the hadith which is in Bukhari, a man used to do a really bad wrong and sin all his life, and he kept it a secret. It is said that he used to open up the graves of people and he would steal their clothing and their jewelry and all that, and then he would sell it. So this man, he had this secret sin all his life. When he was on his deathbed, he gathered his children and said to them, when I die, I want you to cremate me, burn my body, and then gather my ashes, and each one of you go to one part of the earth, the ocean, the mountain, the forest, the lakes, the rivers, and blow a portion of my ashes in those different directions. Let them disperse throughout the world. For wallahi, if I fear Allah, if he were to gather my body and resurrect me, he's going to punish me a severe punishment. And he didn't tell him what he did. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, then Allah gathered his ashes and he resurrected him in a world that is between Allah and him. We can't see that world. And Allah said to the man, why did you do that to yourself? And the man said, my Lord, because I feared you. So Allah said to him, قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكَ. I have forgiven you. The scholars spoke about this. And they said, this man was either ignorant of the day of resurrection. No one really told him that Allah will gather you even if you turned into ashes. He thought that if you stayed in your body, Allah will raise you. So he was ignorant. And a person is pardoned for their genuine, innocent ignorance. That's one view. The other view of the scholars said that this man, because he was nearing death, he must have been stricken with such an anxiety and fear that he couldn't think straight. Like the person in the hadith when he's so excited when his camel came back and he knows he's not going to die. And instead of saying, "Oh my Lord, you're my Lord and I'm your servant," he said, "Oh my Lord, you're my servant and I'm your Lord." But he didn't mean it. So they said this man was full of anxiety. Either way, brothers and sisters, Allah pardoned him, which means that Allah pardons us for innocent ignorance, and he pardons us for a state of emotion where we did not realize what we're doing or saying. And also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him because he truly and was honestly fearing of Allah. Number two, he kept his sin secret because he was feeling guilty about his sin, which means that he knows that he has a Lord who will judge him. Number three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give this to anyone else. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, but anyone else who tries to copy this man to say, do that, it will not work for them anymore. But that man, Allah forgave him. But what it also tells is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fair and just and he's generous and he forgives. This also comes to mind the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the authentic hadith, that on the day of judgment, the hadith is in Bukhari, that on the day of judgment, Allah will call the believer and there isn't a single person except that Allah will speak to them without an interpreter, Muslim and non-Muslim. As for the believer, Allah will say, come closer, until Allah places the covering over this believer. And nobody else can hear or see what's happening. Then Allah says, do you remember when you did such and such an act in secret when no one else was watching or seeing or hearing? And only you and I knew. And you say, yes, Ya Rab, I admit. And then Allah will say, did you not know that I was there and that I will resurrect you? And you say, yes, Ya Rab, I did. Then he tells you about something else and a third thing and a fourth thing and a fifth thing. And then he thinks that he's going to end up in hellfire. Then Allah says, I kept it a secret and covered you in the former life. And today I will continue covering you. Why? We don't know. But what it could be is that this could be a type of person whose heart was always sincere. Number two, he didn't like what he was doing, but he was stuck with it. Number three, he would compensate by doing other good deeds to try and make up for the bad deed. Number four, he didn't tell people about it and boast about it. Because there is a promise from Allah, which he says, if you do a secret sin and you're stuck with it, you still have a huge chance of Allah covering it up for you. And one of its signs is that he covers it up in this world, so long as it's not harming other people, you're just harming yourself. You know, like sins, you're doing something that's sinful to you. And on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still cover it up for you. Because there are people who love to show off their bad deeds. So there's people who show off their good deeds. That's bad enough. It's even worse to show off your bad deeds. There goes that cognitive dissonance in psychology. We say when a person thinks the other way around and tries to justify something that's not true. When people nowadays say, well, it's bad to show off your good deed. At least I'm not a show off. At least I admit that I'm a bad person. At least I admit my sin and I don't hide it. I'm not a hypocrite. No, it's actually the opposite. The fact that you go out to show your bad sin and feel proud of it and then think that you've done good is worse. Why? Because now the shame is gone. Number one, you don't feel so bad about the sin much. I feel relaxed. I confessed. To who? To people. That's the first problem. The second problem, you've given other people ideas as well. Because, you know, the human being gets affected when a lot of people do it. If I come to the mosque and I say, SubhanAllah, man, all these people in the mosque are like angels compared to what I'm doing. If they were to know what I do in secret, none of them will even say salam to me. I'll be the worst of the worst. And then let's say someday you found out that half of the people who come to the mosque are doing more than what you're doing in bed. So then you go, oh, I'm actually better than half the people in the mosque. Suddenly, the shaitan gets to you and you boast. And you think that you're really good. And that is called arrogance. Now it got worse. And guess what? If everybody starts sharing, especially on social media, you just made it easy for everyone else, because everyone else says, well, you know, if so-and-so is doing it, I'll do it. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us not to do that. He says, every servant of Allah, every person in my ummah is still prone and subject to pardoning so long as they do not expose their sins to the public to boast about them. Now, there is a difference between being shifty and stealing people's rights and extortion and being a thief. That's a different story. You don't hide that sin. That has to be exposed. You've got to give the people their rights back. But something that's between you and Allah, a right of Allah that you're not doing very well. Maybe you're neglecting your prayers. Maybe, you know, you're doing some sins at night. Maybe you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing that's between you and Allah. Then try to work on it. Try to compensate with good deeds. And don't go out and tell everybody about it unless you need advice. Come to the sheikh, you come to your parents, you come to someone, a friend who fears Allah, to get advice and to help you, to motivate you. That's a different story. You can talk about it. My brothers and sisters, coming back now as a conclusion to what we were talking about tonight. Tonight was a reminder, an inspiration, a motivation, a wake-up call that our life is running out, but a Muslim does not despair. A Muslim uses it to motivate themselves. A believer lives this life as if they are already in the hereafter. And every time I'm about to do a good deed, I remember the hereafter. Every time I'm going to do a bad deed, I remember the hereafter. Every time I sin, I repent because I remember the hereafter. When I do that, my life changes. And then I live a life of worship, inshallah, and righteousness. But if I neglect the hereafter and I focus on just this world, then the world becomes my heaven, it becomes my goal, it becomes my everything. And then I will neglect myself, neglect my Lord, neglect my hereafter. And at the end of the day, the world will turn its back on me and I will leave everything behind. The only thing that matters are my good deeds, my sincere intentions and honesty, and my repentance, following Allah's guidance in my life till my death comes, is my success, inshallah. And if you can live a life like that, Allah will not only give you a success in the hereafter, but will also give you happiness, contentment, and an inner peace in this life as a sign that you are going in the right path before you even reach the hereafter's happiness. And not only that, this person will be guided to something that Allah loves close to their death, so that they die while Allah is pleased with them. You heard of people like that? I know a person who lived a life of dunya. He was diagnosed with cancer. But Allah knew that something in his heart was special. Maybe he was just procrastinating. And Allah knew that something in secret he was doing, maybe. Only Allah knows the secrets. That the cancer was his wake-up call. The doctor gave him 6 weeks. 6 weeks turned into 6 months. 6 months turned into a couple of years. This brother donated 90% of his wealth and built a whole charity, orphanages, schools around the world. And it's growing till today. I've joined them, alhamdulillah. They're called MATW, by a former brother named Ali Banat, rahmatullahi alayhi, if you remember him. And many examples like him. We need to leave a legacy behind. I end with the ayah in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
إِنَّا نَحْنُ نُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ وكل شيء أحصيناه في إمام مبين.
It is we who will resurrect the dead. And we are currently writing everything that they do now. And we will continue writing the footprints and impressions and legacies which they left behind. And everything is in a clear record. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our deeds, forgive our sins, make us among the righteous, and accept us among the salihun, the ta'ibun, the repentants. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise your ranks and mine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on those who have passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardon us from our sins. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us into paradise. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين.